Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, what would you have to give up to be the ideal you? Record and listen. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Seattle. I was meeting.
Hey, hey, Anna.
Hi.
What are you
seeing? Hello. I'm seeing that if I would stop believing the voices, everything would be great.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. It's okay. If you would stop believing those voices, you would be the ideal you.
Yes.
Isn't it true? And, oh, my God, they don't want us to say that, right? Well, that's so egocentric and that's so arrogant and conceited. And how could you?
In my recording. Oh, sorry. Yeah, in my recording, I also said, I had to start laughing because it was very clear Ego did not say that.
yeah, exactly.
When I said it in the recording. I would be able to, and I will be able to, I mean, I will make commitments that will help me who I want to be in this life. And, because the voices won't talk me out of setting commitments or doing commitments. And,
when you lay it out like that, it's obvious that it would be so easy, right? Without those voices, mm-hmm. you would get up in the morning and you would look at your life and life would drop in, the intelligence would drop in, what now? And you would have a view of yourself and your life that is very expansive. It's not detailed, right? Because we don't know that you're going to get a red light on the corner of and because of that, this and that. I mean, we don't know those kinds of details, right? But you have a broad sense of your life. And then you just, throughout your day, what now? And it's like a dance. It's like a beautiful dance. And there's no problem because nothing is talking you out of dancing that dance with life. Nothing is telling you what you're doing is wrong or that it should have been different or that it was a mistake or you're not going to be able to or you need to be afraid of that or people think that. There wouldn't be any of that information.
Yeah. And, there was just, I mean, and I wouldn't believe the physical sensations. Right now, sometimes, I mean, lately I've had, I don't know if it's really karmic or whatever, but just the physical sensations are so attached to the what it means to have them. You know, it's kind of going into a freezing state almost, and it's just like
that is such a great point. Yeah. Without those voices, something would happen. Something would happen, right? And you would be there for it. And you would receive information from life about it. It's kind of like basic muscle testing. My favorite example of it is you go into a restaurant, you look to your body to see what you want to eat. You go into the grocery store, you look to your body to see what you want to buy. And your body tells you. Right? And so in that same way, there are those sensations in your body. You look to your body, you get information about what that is, you realize it, there's no problem, but maybe there's something that needs to be addressed, needs to be attention, given attention, and so you do that. and you just move right along.
Yeah, and I was wondering, do you have any suggestions on, I mean, probably everything we are doing, but how to get in a place of more allowing and to be able to receive goodness? And
well, of course, you know, for me, it's recording and listening, right?
Yeah.
You just want to stay in a conversation with yourself about what you have seen and what you've realized and what it means to you and how you're going to implement that, how you're going to move forward in your life, realizing that the only problems that you have are because you're in a conversation in your head. You've seen that. And so now you just need really to reinforce that such that that negativity can't pull you back into those old conversations. Now, of course, we've been doing this for a while, right? So we know we are going to get pulled back into that. We are. But that's not a mistake. That's just giving us another chance to see it for what it is, to have greater clarity about it, to once again consciously choose the life that we want for ourselves, and to move forward with that.
Yes.
It's okay if we giggle a little, because it really is. It really is wonderful. I am so happy for you that you have seen this. I am so happy for you.
Yes, thanks.
All right. You keep in touch now, okay? All right, thanks, Anne.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. It's just so profound, Sherry. I was just looking at how awareness practice is a transformation of seeing,
and that
we're so trained to see through the eyes of ego that we actually have to assist ourselves to see with different eyes.
Yeah.
And that we can't even recognize goodness because we're so trained not to see it.
Yeah.
And that recording and listening as a process is training the receiver to transform the sight so that we can recognize the goodness.
Yes. And every time we have an opportunity, so with what we were just talking about, we get pulled back into the old ways of being, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we see again, and we see more. We see, and because we keep getting pulled back in and keep coming to conscious awareness, that's the process that's being reinforced. So we're not in danger of going to sleep and just trying to rest on that one laurel, right? It's a constant process of deepening and expanding. So everybody, please, we have to let go of that idea that, oh, I got identified with ego again. Oh. No, I got identified again. Now I get to wake up again. I get to see again. I'm going to see more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that it's the mystery of Zen practice because of what you're saying, which is, I am identified, I disidentify, I see, then that is the sequence that I'm practicing, right? Not stopping at feeling bad and not taking that additional step to see, to be grateful, to choose unconditional love, because that trains two things. It trains me, which I love. I mean, that was just extraordinary that the process I'm in is in the process of seeing more. And so long as that's the orientation, then the steps that I practice are identification, disidentification, seeing, gratitude for seeing, and I'm always in that process, which will guarantee that I'll never stay in being asleep. I'll always be in the process of staying awake.
Yes. And so if the first time I disidentified and I saw what I saw, if I stayed there, wow, what a limited, paltry little experience of what's available to us. But if I keep doing that process exactly the way that you just laid it out, if I keep doing that, I'm going to see more and more, deeper, more. That it's the process of transforming. That's what we're in. And of course, on its bottom line, brilliant insight, really getting it, that without those voices talking to me, telling me that there's something wrong, I would not have any experience in my life of anything being wrong.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And one other thing, because I can hear egos around the world going, oh, well, fine, then I would just sit on the couch and I'd never, no. Actually, that's why we won't sit on the couch, because life doesn't sit on the couch. Ego sits on the couch. So we would also be called into doing things that ego would never allow us to do when we are just simply being consciously animated by life in that what now place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly so. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and
so
we have to find that out. It
yeah.
is so exciting.
Yeah, we keep practicing till that insight is clear for us. And then that is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Marika from Alpine, San Diego area.
Well, hello, Marika. What are you seeing?
Hi. Wow. Pretty much the conversation you guys were just having is almost verbatim what I had written in my book. It's great. There was one of the really interesting things that happened when I was filling out this exercise is the, I'll tell you what jumped out at me. So, there's the imagine the ideal you, how does she look, what are her qualities, how is she different, what would you have to give up? So just taking for a moment the what are his qualities and the how is she different from you. On the how is she different from you or whatever, I had written things like never gets identified with ego, never gets too tired, never gets overwhelmed, you know. But when I had settled and contemplated really what the qualities were, what the quality is that of being an awareness practitioner, that of being a being who sees everything as a workshop, you know?
Uh-huh.
And within that, there's also, there are no alwayses and no neverses.
Yes.
So,
because it's process.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's process.
So, I've been having a marvelous workshop year, and I've been out of pocket a little bit from this because we've been on this incredible adventure and anyway, but suffice it to say, 2 days ago, I got dehydrated, I got overwhelmed, I got whatever, and I got angry. And I got into a fight with my husband. And so it was all the usual things that happen with that. And it lasted
everything
about a
that,
day. And
he, everything yeah. that he was doing wrong was very clear to you.
Yes.
Uh-huh,
yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and,
I know it well.
You know, and then followed by the next day, which is like this subtle beating up of myself for not somehow being this vast expanse of peace that never gets identified or whatever, or never feels angry.
But, or dehydrated.
Or dehydrated, or, you know, mm-hmm. or actually
yeah.
dealing with different physical
yeah.
things the body's trying
yeah.
to compensate for. But this morning I woke up and I just felt curious it was just like, oh, I'm so curious about the next workshop. This happened before, but this was just so innocent and accepting, and it was just a lovely thing, you know? I am an awareness practitioner. There's nothing that I cannot accept. That at the core of my being, that's my focus in my life. And it means that everything is okay. Yeah, I know you guys say this all the time.
but it only matters when it's our experience, right? So everything is okay because everything is, which is what we were just looking at with Anna, right? When we're identified with ego, then it's not okay because ego is positing this alternate reality in which things are not at all the way they are, but they're the way they should be. And so as soon as we get back to here, then it's what you describe. There, in presence, there is curiosity and interest and excitement and enthusiasm and that innocence. Because you're here.
And in addition to that, something that you said yesterday on the show was also reverberating, because there is this conditioning, cultural conditioning as to what we are supposed to do. So when you get triggered or something like that, or when you're trying to figure something out, there's this urge to do something. But this different perspective of first considering what you want to be and then do what you need to do to be that, which is, I think, how you were saying it yesterday, makes everything okay from the perspective because it gives me the path forward as to what to do. What do I do? Oh, well, I look at this as a workshop. What is there to learn? What am I seeing? What am I seeing before? What little tiny process is being revealed to me right now?
Yes, it's a very different doing, isn't it? When the doing is serving being. I really need to pay attention. I need to choose unconditional love. I need to be here for this person. I need to be open to those little tiny subtle pieces of information that are available to me. That's what I need to do. Not go up into conditioned mind and figure something out, which I've been doing all of my life. And the result has been great distress. Oh, that's wonderful. Good. Well,
we're happy
you're here.
Happy to be here. And I have been somewhat absent, but definitely participating as I can.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that's all we can do. Thank you, Marijke. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marijke. It sounds when someone says, I am an awareness practitioner, that it is a state of, it's someone rather than a process. Because the quality, I think, Marijke was pointing us to is that ego is such a thing. It's such a content thing. It's a what. And that to be that place of flow where everything is acceptable, that definition of awareness, of an awareness practitioner, is just simply that which witnesses without going to a place of that's not. It's such a wonderful quality to define it. It's like water. It can take any form, but it's always in that witnessing way.
Yes, and it has, because I'm a practitioner, it has that element of, we're not talking perfection here. We're not talking goals and standards, right? It's a process of awareing.
Yes, and it's not a standard because every awareness is its own. The standard is now.
Yes, If there is one, that's the yes. Not that yeah. it's so much standard. I know what you mean, though. It's the reference point. It's what we're looking for. It's where we're doing our best to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Well, let me bring on another caller, Sherry, and see what they have
more
to
excitement.
Say.
More excitement.
Yes, ahead. More excitement. Yes, exactly. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Well, what are you doing in Charleston? Shouldn't you be on the road?
Well, it is... Everyone here is preparing, and we're prepared, and I've made all of my loved ones safe. I think we've dodged the bullet, so I'm watching. I'm not on the road yet, but I will be if I feel like.
Oh, okay.
I'm still gathering information.
Okay, the word we get, in the national media is you folks are, it's a foregone conclusion, and you folks are already on the road. So that's interesting to hear from the local on the ground.
Exactly. Well, it looks like the winds are going to be very much milder, but the rain is going to be significant, and it's probably going to mm-hmm. be freshwater stuff rather than the ocean encroaching. So we're watching, and
with our
this
friends
happened
in
exactly.
Hawaii, just like our friends
yeah,
in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Same process, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But we're sending a lot of energy to the folks up north because they're more in the direct path, and that looks much more frightening there. So
yeah.
We're all watching. But thank you for your thoughts.
We're thinking about you. Yeah.
Support. I know. The conversation. Oh, really, really good. I'm watching how I am allowed to participate in all of this and. Right off the bat, that first conversation, if they weren't listening to the voices, there'd be no problem. But, boy, I get trapped in that. And one of the recent bamboozles I've seen is how conditioning had me convinced that if I were the right person, consciousness and awareness would be a static state. I would reach a state yes. of awareness and heightened expansion and stay there.
Yes. Yes.
Which is really a definition of death, right?
Right. Yeah. And and yet, funnily enough, we don't even know that that's true. But what that makes me think of, Ramita, is the kind of unintentional, I would say, disservice that so many religious and spiritual people do, the rest of us, by making it seem that way. By focusing on the state that we're getting to as if it's a permanent state.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's not, but it seems that way. Okay, do this, 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 and this, and you'll reach enlightenment. There, the sentence ends. And you'll reach enlightenment,
right.
Which certainly seems like what's being said is, and then you're done. And and back to the couch.
Yeah, again, that's the ideal state. You got here, now stay here. And if you don't stay here, there's something wrong. And
then it's proof. It's proof.
Yep.
Something wrong with you. Because you got there, and now you can't stay there. What's the matter with you?
In effect, these undulations, these comings and goings, these awakenings, this ability to say, oh, I can let go of this. Oh, I can let go of this. Oh, I'm identified. Now I can wake up from that. I'm on a, it's a transformative process of awakening, an ING
yes.
process.
Yes. Yes. We are gerunds.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was Buckminster Fuller said, I seem to be a verb. And
right.
Everything is verbing.
Everything is verbing. So. Life is verbing. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a moment of, is that what that process, is that what's the ING is called? I went back to
I think you're right.
Somewhere in a high school English class and went, maybe that's not what it's called. Oh, well, I happen to have people close to me who really know those things, so I'll check that out and apologize tomorrow if we're not actually gerunds, if we're something else.
Oh, goodness, goodness. But,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, just the example of participation, of staying, being, listening to the radio show versus putting myself in the queue, actually doing the assignment, writing it and recording and listening to it. I have all these places where I see how I get talked out of it. And every time I can say, wait a second, that's a bamboozle, I get that joy and that sparkle of saying, yep, I can let go of that and come back to present.
It's such an important point that you're making. We settle for so much less, right? So there, we get the assignment, we participate, we put ourselves in the queue, we show up, we're really here, wholehearted here. We're doing the assignments, we're recording and listening, and it's a joyful process. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It sparkles, and we sparkle as a result of it, right? And then we get talked into, oh, I don't feel like that, I don't want to do that. And we don't, because we're identified with ego, we don't realize I'm not sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I there's this vague promise that somehow I'm going to be happier not participating. But gosh, I don't seem to be. So what? When do I sparkle? Well, when I'm participating, when I'm showing up, when I'm here,
when I'm not listening to that voice that says I don't feel like it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself. Keep an eye on those. Keep an eye on those big waters.
I have both eyes. All three eyes are focused on that. So
all
thank
three.
You very
all
much.
Right. You're going to be in good shape. Right. Thanks, Ramita.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Ramita. Sherry, we have 2 minutes more. I don't think we have time for another caller because we will go over. And a gerund, apparently, which I just looked up, is a it's a noun that's formed from a verb. And you can always recognize it because it has an ing ending.
Aha. Well, that's right, because we are nouns, aren't we, that are verbing.
Yes.
See, I didn't just sleep through that English class.
I love it. Well, Sherry, you're certainly modeling never being asleep. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. What are we going to do today? What now?
Well, the assignment is, what is the best thing that could happen to you? Record and listen.
What is the best thing that could happen to you? Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow, what fun. All right.
Well, I think that all of us would just say we could wave that magic wand and have the voices disappear.
But we are not. We are awareness practitioners. We're not looking for shortcuts, are we?
No, and I think that's the conversation that we just had with Ramita, which is there is no blissful state that we're trying to get to. It's the process of being alive, which is being aware, that includes all of what is here.
Yes, yes.
That really is the bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to redefine that state as that.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it in the marrow of our bones.
Yeah, yeah. Living in gratitude. Living in yes and thank you. That's the bliss, regardless of anything else that's going on. At least that's my little definition of it right now.
And to invite the oscillation as getting to that process, getting to that awareness that there's nothing wrong with anything, including the undulation.
That's
it's like, okay, well, there's a storm watch on, and I have to have my eyes on the rolling swells of the ocean, because that's what's going on now.
Yeah, I get to have my eyes on that.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, yes, and yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, yeah. If there weren't ego's no, I might not be so inclined to choose life's yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we have to keep ego around so that we'll continue to grow, but it's kind of that expression in practice, where practice will hold your heart until you're ready to hold it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's that same kind of until we are yes in life, then we are helped by the opportunity to choose yes in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It's just, you know, while you're in the middle of that process, it is so hard to accept what you just said.
Yeah.
But that the mystery of existence is in the kernel of that truth, because mm-hmm. otherwise there's no way of knowing that which is beyond me.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's beautiful. This is how we get to know that which is beyond me. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about something to be grateful for, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, here we go. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Treasure yourself. Go happy.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.